Welcome to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike, coming to you from the Great Lakes area of beautiful Ontario, Canada, on this gorgeous Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. And here we are, Tammy.
Hi, everybody.
Are you ready to teach some Bible? Tammy, Acts chapter 23 is monumental, man. Are you done, Tammy?
Are you done, Michael?
Okay.
You are the one wearing the mittens. You still scratch your face.
I try not to. It's a learned behavior. Okay, I'm Paul. Okay, Acts chapter 23. Watch this. Paul's in court here. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, so he's serious. He's like, hey, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And when the high priest Annas commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the face. Like, this guy just gets smacked right in the face. He hasn't even started yet. He's just saying, oh, my brothers, I've lived in good conscience. Smack, right? Right in the side of the face.
You know what? I'm going to say that. I'm going to smite you. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, this high priest, smack him in the face before he even gets started. Then Paul said unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. Remember Jesus Christ said that about these guys. You guys are like, you're just so fake. It's all about what's on the outside. On the inside, you're just dark. There's nothing in you. Spiritually dead people. You're a bunch of phonies. And Jesus Christ said that, I think in Matthew 23, man. He just let her rip against these phonies. They're fakes. They're all about the show. A religious show. We are so religious to get any money for God. Right?
Okay, let's
That's what they do, Tammy.
I know
we're doing
it's
the same
what
thing
they do.
And they sittest to judge me. Probably say, you whitest wall, you phony. Okay, thou sittest to judge me after the law and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law, you hypocrite. And they stood by, and those that stood by revilest thou God's high priest. Are you trying to... These are all the butt kissers, man. Hardcore butt kissers, right? You can't say that to our high priest. Well, he did. And Paul didn't hold back, and neither should you. When you find a phony high priest or a phony pastor, you know what? You go into your church, and if they haven't been teaching you the Bible, go in there and ask for your money back. Who do you think that guy is anyway? You got to be careful about developing an emotional attachment to a phony that's putting on a big show. Using this Bible as a random book of quotes, getting a big rock and roll band going. You know, we'll just leave it at that. This is what the fake church is like then. And today, it's the same thing. Are you learning this chapter by chapter, verse by verse? This is your instructions. This is instructions before leaving earth. This is Jesus Christ is the author of salvation. There's nothing more important than where you go when you die. And here's your instructions here. And then Paul says, okay. Then Paul said, I wist not. Okay, I don't know what wist means. I'll just say, I know not, brethren, that he was the high priest. I know he's the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. I looked this up this morning. That holds. That's Exodus chapter 22, verse 28. Okay, don't speak evil of the people running the government. You know why? Like, because you're going to end up in jail. Let's look at some extreme examples of this. Stalin, that's in our recent history. If you spoke evil of him, you like it's over for you. You can't serve God at all. You're in the gulag and in work camps, or a North Korean with this, Kim Jong-un. If you speak evil of him, these are extreme examples. But if you want to start speaking evil of the government, look what's happening in Canada. You can go to jail for life in Canada now for thought crimes. They'll just twist it in their courts of law, which are just a joke, nothing to do with God's laws. And they'll say, hate crime, or they'll put any label on you to shut you up. They want to shut the truth up. And this is a great dynasty of censorship, and it's escalating and intensifying into the sixth seal, Trump and Vile, when they're going to control technology and control your thoughts. It's about mind control, coercive persuasion. It's psychological warfare. And you can read about this. Psychops. That's what the governments do. It's called psychops. It's to reduce your ability to think critically or independently, so they have control over you. So don't go around speaking evil of the rulers. Like if you have, it's like, you know, if you have a different argument, present your argument in such a manner, but don't try and vilify other people, right? That's what happens in Canada when we have this Liberal Party and a Conservative Party. The way the Conservatives, when they have their elections, they're always pointing fingers at the other person, and nobody likes that. You know, nobody likes that deep down inside, and the name calling. And okay, but when Paul perceived that one of the Sadducees and the others were Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. I am called in question. This is what I'm doing here, because I said, you know, there's life after death, which we obviously know. The laws of thermodynamics were written in the Bible thousands of years before Einstein figured it out. We got a psyche, a spirit, the intellect of your soul. It's a closed energy system. Remember these words in the Bible. Like when you say spirit, people say, I'm not spiritual. Spirit simply means in biblical terms, your intellect. You know, when we say worship, I don't worship anything. Worship just means what you have faith in, what you trust. And we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We love him. And religion just means follower of one's own beliefs. And here we have, okay, so your spirit goes somewhere. It's a closed energy system. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. This body goes back in the dirt. It's an open energy system, obviously. So he's talking about the resurrection of the dead and the hope. And what did you do to deserve to hope? Whenever I see that word hope, it's like, what did you do to deserve to hope? There's people around us, they say to us all the time, well, I'm going to heaven, aren't I, Michael? What do you mean? What are you asking me for, man? You know what I mean? Like, it's up to you. You either submit with an unquestioned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, or you don't. You either have different ideologies in the Lord Jesus Christ on how to govern ourselves as an individual and as a population, or you follow along with God's ideologies. It's up to you where you go when you die. It's totally up to you where you go when you die. And that's the hope of the resurrection of the dead. I'm called into question. Now watch this, what Paul did. So this, and when he had said, there arose dissension. This is discord. This is distrust. Okay, between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. Why? Because we have, what do we have here? Hate united always fails. The Sadducees say there's no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Okay, so you had hate united here trying to kill Paul, you know, and if, for the Sadducees, just to say something, if there is no resurrection, if there was no life after, the universe would be pointless. And we know that's just a ridiculous argument. It's an absolute embarrassment to mankind to even entertain that. Okay, hate always falls apart. Psalms 34:21. Evil destroys the wicked, and they that hate righteousness shall be destroyed. It destroys itself from within. The internal passion of the mind of all these different ideologies that are causing division, distrust, disorder, chaos on the world stage today. God said, hey, listen, you guys want to nurse those ideologies along and with no praise or presence of God whatsoever and your spiritual construct? You can go play somewhere else. That's all there is to it. You've exhausted your caregiver. Like, get lost. And there arose a great cry. Now they're arguing amongst each other. They can't even hold it together. And this is in court. And the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God. So now we have three divisions here. Some of the Pharisees are like, yeah, this guy hasn't done anything wrong. Why is he on the hot seat here? Not only the hot seat, this isn't just him going to do 30 days or 60 days in the bucket. They want to kill him. Like, this is a murder trial, and they haven't even had anything against him yet. So some of the people's, what do you call that? When they feel bad, their conscience is bothering them. Okay? And when there arose great dissension, the chief captain, fearing that Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, like, can you imagine? This is in court, you know, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the castle. So here we had to get the occupying army, the Roman army, to protect Paul here. Don't forget, Paul's a Roman citizen anyways. And the night following, the Lord stood by Paul and said, be of good cheer, Paul. For thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must now thou bear witness also in Rome. So remember when he was praying, I want to go to Jerusalem. He did his job. He put the seeds of truth there. He exposed the phonies. Okay, so this is a key reference also, because remember for Paul's confidence in the next chapters that he will make it to Rome, because it was, you know, a lot of creaky old boats and, you know, shipwrecks and just, you know, marauders and getting arrested all the time. Okay, so just God give him, you know, okay, don't worry about it, Paul. You got to go to Rome now. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat or drink until they had killed Paul. Well, isn't that the good, wholesome, churchy church vow right there? We're going to kill Paul. And this word here, bound and cursed, is the same word in the manuscripts. It's anathematizo, and it means dedicated to something. They're going for it, and they've made their mission public. So there's no turning back, but they're bound. So why are they so upset with Paul in the first place? Follow the money. It's the same today. If there's a financial interest in the outcome of churchy churches to draw in people with sugar-coated religious-sounding messages, obviously, look at the churches today. Go up to the mega churches. Sugar-coated religious-sounding messages. Now, teaching the truth would change the whole dynamic of church congregations, wouldn't it?
Oh,
you can
100%.
You could imagine how many atheists would love to hear the truth. But because they just take scraps of information from blabbermouth pedestrian Christians, there, I said it, right? Who are biblically illiterate. And that's on you. It's one book. And you can, if you really want to blame someone, but you should, look at your pastor. Who are you? Who have you developed an emotional attachment to this guy? Oh, he's larger than life, man. He's got a charisma. And don't think otherwise, man. He only remembers your name through Czech association. That's the check you write every week. That's how he remembers you, right? That's it. They think he really cares. He's got such a lush job. He just can rip a sermon off the internet in 20 minutes, and then he's just got to repeat it 20 minutes in the church, and maybe he'll draw it out to 40, but he doesn't want to put everyone to sleep, and he's just using this book as a random book of quotes. Dude, you have to think about who these guys are in life. Who were they before they became pastors and got this congregation? They're not innovators. They're not entrepreneurs. They're not creators. They're not businessmen. They're not hardworking construction tradesmen. Who are they? You just think about that. How can I get a lush job? I don't really care if I make much money. And I don't even have to learn one book. I don't even have to. I can go to a seminary, get my sticker on my plaque thing. What do you call those things anyway?
A diploma?
A diploma. It's got the, like, it's the picture frame.
Yeah, it's just a diploma.
Oh, I want one. I got my grade 10. I'm waiting for my grade 10 to show up in the mail. I'm saying they get their diploma, and then all of a sudden, you know, they get put in a church somewhere, and it's, oh, I don't even have to learn one book. I can just say, oh, it was written a long time ago. It was different interpretations. I don't want to offend anybody. And you get the church elders, don't offend anybody here. Oh, yeah, it's just crazy. It's too bad. All the atheists, I bet you 90% of the atheists in the world would churn to believing in the Lord God if they knew what was really written in this book. It answers every logical moral objection known to mankind, covers all the true science. Anyways, here we go. So these people, there's a financial interest in the outcome not to teach the truth. It's the same today. It's the same back then. And they want to kill Paul. They want to kill him. What was he doing? Teaching the truth. And here we got, how many we got here? Okay, and there were more than 40 of them, which made this conspiracy. I'll just add, conspiracy to commit murder, which is the same as murder itself up here in Canada. 40 is probation. They've obviously breached their probation. Right? Good one, eh, Tam?
Yeah. Keep going. Let's go.
And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. So here's a good translation saying slain and killed, like almost back-to-back verses. You know, the translators translated differently. It's apoctino. We know that from the book of Revelation. They want to get rid of him. They want to shut him up. It doesn't matter how they do it. That's what they're talking about. Now, therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain and bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though he would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, or we, or ever he came near, are ready to kill him. This word kill here is much different. It's annihilate. It's like to say annihilate. It's a strong word for abolish, to murder, to put to death. These guys are doing this by trickery. Okay, so they got this trickery set up. Let's bring him down here, and we don't have any charges against him. Let's make up some charges. Let's get some witnesses together and just make anything up. You know, conspiracy to commit murder through, falsehood, through lying. What is that? Slander. God hates slander, just as Satan's. That's Satan's death sentence, Ezekiel chapter 28. He defiled the sanctuary. He slandered God's word. And when Paul's sister's son heard of them lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. It would have been nice to know what Paul's sister's name was, right? I mean, she kind of deserves a shout out. And the boy.
Yeah.
Anyways, it doesn't matter. Paul's sister was there. The family's together. You know, they're not divided. They got Paul's back. They know. And that's the difference between two kinds of families today. When you become a Christian, your family's either going to reject you or embrace you, and it's probably reject you. So hold on. Your family is now God's family, Israel, and there's nothing you can do about it. So don't sweat it. And remember, it says in the Bible that your mother and father and your brother and sister, they all hate you and bring you up to death. What's that mean, bring you up to death? It means they want to kill the truth right out of you. You know, they're trying to pump in the ways and things of the world of money. The world revolves around money, and they're trying to make you second guess your faith. Don't worry about it. That's going to happen. Not here with Paul's sister and her son. This is Paul's nephew. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee who has something to say. So you see the construct here. You know, the message has to get to the top. There's a process here. That's all that's being said. And there's a respect here. They have a respect for Paul. Then the chief captain took him by hand and went inside it privately and asked him, okay, man, what's on your mind? Okay. And then he said, the Jews have agreed to desire that thee wouldst thou bring down Paul tomorrow into his council, as though they would acquire somewhat of him more perfectly. Again, procured by trickery. They have some guile. They have malice in them. They're trying to get him into court because they want to kill him.
And they're trying to ambush him.
Yeah, it's an ambush. So guile means an ulterior motive. It's sly, cunning. They villainize and discredit and lie against. Okay, it's connivory. And malice, it's actually a legal term in the Bible, with intent to harm. They have a spitefulness, instigating others into confrontation. They have more than ill will feelings. No guile, no malice, no corruption was found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was perfect. Perfect in trustworthiness, perfect in righteousness. And here we have these guys procured by trickery, okay? But do not thou yield unto them, for they lie in wait 40 murderers. That's what they are. They have it on their mind. They're convicted of murder then, because conspiracy to commit murder means it's on your mind. And God looks at that just like murder itself, as if you did it. And they will neither eat or drink till they have killed them. And now they're already looking for a promise from thee. Okay, they're making up new charges. They're trying to pull him in there. They're just going to kill him. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him. See thou tell no man that thou hast showed thee these things. So like today, it would be like, okay, I got your back. Stay solid on this matter. Fist bump out, right? You know what I'm saying? That's what it'd be like today. You know, okay? So, okay, he took him seriously. And he called unto him two centurions, say, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night. So we're getting together like a part of the army here. Why third hour of the night, 9 p.m.? Because the gate's closed and these guys can't follow, right? And they got quite a few people here. And if I was one of these soldiers, I would want to score one of these horses because the count doesn't line up. You know, you're going to be walking 20 miles at night. But anyways, they did it because they're protecting Paul and provide them beasts. You know, it's like 70 horses is only, it's 80. And there's 200 people. So someone's going to get jammed for a horse. So that's first come, first serve. Like, I'm not walking 20 miles. Right? And provide them beasts. That's just, beast here is kinotos. It means horses, okay? They could have just put horses in there. That they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. Okay, so Felix was a governor down there. Don't make it sound like he was a bigger shot than Claudius Lysias. Claudius Lysias had far more rank above this guy, but Claudius Lysias' job was to keep the peace at Jerusalem, okay? And now he's sending, okay, there's trouble here. Let's get this Roman citizen out of here because these Jews are just murderers. And that's what they do. They did to Jesus Christ, trying to do it to Paul. They had, that's just was in their heart. That's the lead clergy. And you have to understand, this is the church of the time. How do they murder today? How do they kill the truth today? By sugarcoating the word. through subtlety. That's Satan's thing. You know when you see the word serpent in Genesis chapter 3? That was a poor translation. It's Nikesh in the Hebrew. It means enchanter. The enchanter was more subtle than all the creatures on planet Earth. He was smarter than Daniel the prophet. The reason they put serpent is because serpent is like onomatopoeic word. Shh, it's like Nikesh. But it's the word Nikesh means enchanter. That's what he did to Eve. It would have been better. You know, it would have been probably made things a lot easier if they just would have put the word enchanter instead of serpent. But you have to understand what the serpent does. It paints a picture in your mind. What does the serpent do? Oh, it'll bite you, man. It'll come up behind you and bite you. And that fits in the glossary of the Bible. So, you know, if people try and say it was a talking snake, well, you know, that's just beyond all reasonables. You haven't read the manuscripts. It's too bad people say that. They don't have the organs of speech. Like, that's seared into people's minds. It's too bad. It's too bad that people don't understand the Quran and the Holy Bible. The two most untranslatable books into the English. Therefore, you have to find somebody that goes back into the manuscripts like I do and translates through the lexicons to find those threads that run through the Bible for understanding and interpretation. Okay. Anyways, okay, where were we here? These guys tripping around. Oh, he wrote a letter. Yeah. He wrote a letter after this manner. So, Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix, sending greetings. Okay, like these guys were polite. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then I came with an army and rescued him, having understood that he's a Roman. Oh, yeah, he's caking it on here. Because don't forget, he was ready to scourge Paul. He was ready to have him, like, just beaten. And then Paul said, I'm a Roman citizen. So Claudius Lysias is, like, he's nervous here. Mm-hmm. He could easily get busted, right? Even though he's at the top, but he could easily get busted. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, like, I didn't even know what charge, they didn't even come up with charges. I brought him forth unto their council, who I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, nothing to do laid to his charge worthy of death or bonds. Okay, so I'm judge here, like, I'm the big shot. And these guys were just on a witch hunt here. It's just a church death squad to kill the truth. And when it was told me how the Jews laid wait for this man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to the accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Okay, later, man. We're out of here. All right? In other words, then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow, they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle. So they got him out of there. They got him safe. Who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. Okay, so you say you're a Roman citizen. Where were you born? Let's do some background checking here. Paul says, Cilicia. I will hear thee, said, when thy accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. Okay, so now he's just going through the process of court, and he gets to stay in the castle jail downstairs, and apparently he gets treated pretty good down there. That's for the next chapter. I hope you enjoyed that. The Companion Chapel is a registered nonprofit ministry. These podcasts are only possible through your provisions. Please go to companionchapel.com or email us at companionchapel@gmail.com. And in the description below, you can get all the contact information. Please like and subscribe because it helps the algorithms spread the word of God. Spread the message of Christ's love to a hurting world. I want to thank you very much for watching. Have yourself a great day, and bye for now.
God bless everybody.